So, you know, there are studies going on all the time. We hear the results of studies in headlines constantly, and a lot of times you read them and you think, well, who cares? How does that affect me? And then there are studies that don't say nearly as much as they should, where the implications of what they've found kind of reverberate through the nation. And that's kind of fitting for the new one from the Pew Research Center. This new one looked at the impact of the recession on the wealth of different minority groups in the United States. And it turns out the wealth levels of African-American Latinos were hit very badly during this recession and brought down to, as we discussed earlier in the week, to levels of the 1980s. And it goes even further in terms of government jobs. And that affects African-Americans because 1 in 5 African-Americans have a public sector job. They're the leading employer for black men, the second largest employer for black women. And that means that when you see all these announcements of layoffs in states and federal agencies, that's going to disproportionately affect African Americans. Now, that's a problem everyone agrees on. The solution to it is something that is a source for disagreement.
Although the Pew study focused mainly on house wealth ownership.
Wealth levels
related to housing.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, that's the sort of Pew thing.
Right. John McWhorter joins us now, an American linguist and Manhattan Institute senior fellow in public policy. And John, you wrote an article in The Root this week that talked about the solution to black middle-class unemployment. And we're going to let you lay out your theory. You join us from your home in Jersey City. Good morning.
Good morning. And I'd like to say I am not actually with the wonderful Manhattan Institute at this point. I am teaching at Columbia and freelancing instead. But my theory, as I would put it, is just that when we talk about these problems for black working people, then certainly there are real problems. But I think our statement is incomplete and almost disempowering if we just make the statement that there is this there's this increase in the wealth gap and that there is this possible employment crisis because of the shrinkage of the public sector. And let's call that what it is, government jobs. If that's true, then I think we're also responsible for talking about the solutions, because we don't want to imply that there are no solutions and that short of some sort of revolution in the way America treats black people, of which I'm one, we're just basically up a creek. Because, and this is the good news, I don't think we are. I think we need to focus on the fact that if there are going to be fewer government jobs, and apparently there are going to be, then we need to point the black community towards the sorts of jobs that there are. And even though we're talking about the middle class, I think that really, more pointedly, we're talking about what kind of viable job can you have if you don't have, say, a BA from Northwestern? Can you have a middle-class existence? And we're often told that, no, if you don't have a solid 4-year BA, then especially these days, you're going to be mowing grass. And that's simply not true. And so in a piece that I wrote this week at The Root, I wrote that there are jobs that you can have where you can make as much as a 6-figure income. And by can, I don't mean under extreme conditions. I mean people regularly do, where you don't have to go to college. And our job is just to talk about what those are so that when the public sector shrinks, i.e. when it's not as easy to get a paper-pushing bureaucracy government job, which I don't think was ever paradise anyway, we can talk about a different kind of thriving existence for the black people who might be left out in the cold.
All right. That is John McWhorter, American linguist, talking about his solution from his article in The Root. Also in the studio with us is Kai Wright, editorial director of Color Lines. Good morning, Kai.
Morning.
Now, you take issue with John's premise. Why?
Well, on a few levels, actually. I guess the place to start is, you know, I suspect the 14 million people who are out of work in America would love to hear about these jobs John is talking about, of all races. We've been in a pretty robust conversation for the last 3 years about how to create jobs that allow – how to create an equitable economy. And there's actually we don't lack for solutions. There have been many solutions put on the table. The issue is that they don't gain traction politically. But I think it's a bit disingenuous to argue that there's not a solutions conversation going on. There's, you know, from homes through to jobs – there's been a lot of solutions on the table. The problem is, how do we get Washington to move on those solutions?
But can you just respond to the point of the value of a college education that McWhorter says is suspect now? That's a legitimate discussion, wouldn't you agree?
Well, I mean, so 15% of black college graduates under 25 are currently unemployed, and looking at mowing lawns,
yeah.
I suspect, if they can find even
those jobs.
And
a lot of the job growth has been in minimum wage jobs.
And throughout our economy, regardless of your race, we have seen job growth in service sector jobs. I'm sure these 14 million people who are out of work would love to hear about these three-figure jobs that exist out there.
Yeah.
Sorry, these six-figure, they'll know all about three-figure ones. These six-figure jobs that are out there. And I have to say, on the government jobs, we proceed from this assumption that they're disappearing through some sort of natural occurring phenomenon and that they must disappear. One solution, one viable solution on the table is to protect these jobs. Well, the reason why they're significant is because they're one of few places left in our economy, thanks to the erosion of these kinds of jobs in the private sector, where someone can, in fact, raise a family and seek opportunity and have benefits that you increasingly don't get in a service-driven economy like the one we have.
That's Kai Wright, editorial director of Color Line's John McWhorter. So do you think that we're just simply not doing enough to protect these public sector jobs? I mean, maybe we're just not – I mean, like I said, many of the jobs that are opening up at this point are minimum wage. So maybe that's the problem, that regardless of what your color is, we're letting these middle-class jobs disappear.
Well, we're going to have to continue this after the break, but I don't see how one protects these jobs. That sounds good, but in terms of how that could actually work in America as it is now, I'm not sure how it would go, and I don't think this is a matter of what the government can do. We're talking about putting on a whole different set of glasses, and it's quite feasible, and we will talk about how.
All right. Well, that's John McWhorter doing my job for me. Maybe the job for you is a radio host, John McWhorter. You can take a look at his article from The Root, and Kai Wright is editorial director of Color Lines. What we're talking about is the middle class, basically, for African Americans and Latinos, especially since they have been hit the hardest during this recession. But kind of for any American middle class member, how do we protect those jobs? How do we get people to stay in the middle class? And we're going to continue this conversation, but we want you to weigh in. Give us your opinion. Are we having a conversation about solutions? And if so, what do you think the solutions are? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your comment to thetakeaway.org. John and Kai will stay with us. We want to return to our conversation about the black middle class. And it's not just blacks who have suffered disproportionately during the recession, Latinos as well. But one thing that is unique to African Americans is that they rely disproportionately on government or public sector jobs more heavily than any other sector of our society. Joining us now to talk about this, John McWhorter, linguist who teaches at Columbia University, contributing editor at The New Republic. And his article in The Root is what inspired this conversation this week. Kai Wright is with us in the studio, editorial director of The Color Lines. Thanks for staying with us, both of you.
Celeste?
Yes.
I don't want to take up too much time. I'm going to really hurry, but can I jump in with just 30 seconds of what I meant in the article about what black people can do
okay.
in this situation? Very quickly, what I'm talking about is, for example, you can be an ultrasound technician or a radiation technician. Healthcare jobs are largely recession-proof. That's one kind of job one can have. There is, according to statistics, about to be a plumber shortage, and we all know that plumbers make an awful lot of money. There should be a movement to have more, especially young black people who are seeking a great existence, to get jobs as plumbers or as installing air conditioning or heating. This is something that's a very good career. Once there's no recession, and I'm talking about a generation-long plan, not just these terrible recession times, you don't have to go to college to be a real estate broker. And lastly, there is data storage and data transfer, not data entry, but data storage and data transfer, the sort of wonky person who comes along and helps a company do that sort of thing when they're moving or when they're picking up stakes. That person only has to have an associate's degree. That person very regularly makes a six-figure income. So I'm talking about using a little imagination. These are things we're not taught about. The government doesn't need to start a program, and I'm not being anti-government here. I'm really not in general. But this is about getting the word out in the black community and beyond about what you can do in hard times, even without a college degree.
All right, that's John McWhorter, linguist at Kai Wright can almost not contain himself. Kai Wright, editorial director of The Color Lines. Your response?
You know, so this is I will agree with John that we need to be finding jobs for everyone in all sectors. There's no question. We have for more than 2 years now had a job creation to job seeker ratio that is more than 4 to 1. So for every 4 job seekers out there, 4 plus job seekers out there, there is one job opening. There aren't enough jobs in the government, there aren't enough jobs for plumbers. There aren't enough jobs. And there have been an enormous number of solutions on the table for creating such jobs. And in fact, some of what he's talking about is skilled laborers, right? So one of the biggest solutions that we've been debating for over 2 years now is a government program that would be a job creation program for skilled laborers through infrastructure and green economy retrofitting. We haven't been able to do those things. The private sector is not creating enough jobs. There has never been a – there isn't a historical precedent of the private sector creating enough jobs for a crisis of this scale. We cannot move forward until we start getting people of all races into jobs. I think we have to be honest about that conversation, you know, and to say that, oh, there's some technician jobs out there you can get. Yeah, sure. Maybe there's a handful. But even those, you do need training to get. And one of the funny trapdoors is those jobs often come through going through for-profit schools, for-profit trade schools that
community
have
colleges,
been
right.
No, not community colleges, actually, for-profit trade schools that have been shown to leave black people in particular uniquely indebted and still out of work.
That's often, but it's not always. There's also the community college program, which the Obama administration has unfortunately pulled back on after initially promising to giving more funding to. But community colleges are very important to this question because often the training for these jobs comes through them. The trade school problem is real, but it doesn't condemn the entire black race seeking jobs to failure. It's a problem that we seek a solution to.
Okay, that's John McWhorter, linguist who teaches at Columbia University. Kai Wright is editorial director of Color Lines. And we want to invite you to be part of this conversation. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. You had a question, John?
Well, I don't quite get why this is specific to the African-American community. I mean, maybe it's just not, but it seems to me this is a discussion about the quality of education and the inability of government to usefully direct people into careers that are actually needed.
Well, the piece that's significant to – so, yes, I agree. We across our economy are in crisis.
In the middle class across the economy is in crisis.
And in all classes, except for the super rich, we are in crisis. We have record numbers of poverty, actually, so outside of the middle class. But
about three different things, I think. Go ahead, Kai.
But so we have a full economy crisis, obviously. The reason why this is uniquely important to African-Americans is that it is clear that African-Americans are suffering the worst from it, ranging
also,
from wealth to jobs.
Unemployment
across,
around
African-Americans
is significantly
and
higher.
And also because the statistic is that 20% of employed black people have government jobs versus 15% of whites. I thought that was a lot of the racial angle to this, too. I'm not sure how significant that statistic is, but that's something that has moved a lot of people to write about.
Well, similarly, 16% of black people are unemployed compared to 8% of the nation overall.
That disproportionate representation in government jobs a social problem for blacks or just a social problem for Americans? John McWhorter?
I think that disproportion with government jobs was a problem in the black community before we were even talking about the disproportion, because I think that there are more fulfilling and more forward-moving jobs that anybody can have than a government job. I think that that was a mid-20th century step along the way to overcoming. But the idea is not to keep black America, what you might call over-dependent on public sector jobs. When things seem to be changing such that that can't be true, I see that as an opportunity. And very quickly, we're in a recession, yes, but I'm talking about a general long-term plan for what black work is going to be. And I'm operating according to an idea, and maybe this is wrong, but I doubt that it is, that there's not always going to be a recession. I'm well aware that anything we talk about now
it's quite an assumption at this point.
John McWhorter, linguist who teaches at Columbia University, and his article appears in The Root this week. Kai Wright, editorial director of Color Lines. Last word to you. Perhaps the figure we need to be focusing on is the fact that African Americans are unemployed at twice the number that the rest of the country
and
is.
At all classes. It's at college-educated African-Americans are unemployed at twice the rate of everybody else. College-educated, not community college-educated, college-educated African-Americans. We have a jobs crisis in the black community. And yes, we need more public sector jobs. We need more private sector jobs. We need more plumbers. We need more everything.
That's just it. It doesn't matter what kind of job it is. Kai Wright, you'll be happy with whatever the job is.
As long as it's a living wage job with benefits, and that's what we need to be fighting for.
I'm sure John McWhorter could agree with that as well. But we do want to get listeners to weigh in on this conversation. 877-8-MY-TAKE, post a comment to thetakeaway.org. Kai Wright, editorial director of Color Lines, and John McWhorter, linguist at Columbia University, contributing editor at The New Republic, and author of this article that appeared in The Root this week on black middle-class unemployment. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.